You have no idea how restricted I've felt for the last 8 months. Yes, are you ready for this? I have sat on a chair holding my hands for 8 months. So all that bent up energy hopefully won't come out in one ugly mess right now. Let me pray. What fun it is just to declare Jesus is Lord, to sing together of our hope, the hope that is ours in Jesus. And Father, we thank you that your word is truth and that as we open your word together, we have the opportunity afresh to see Jesus. So yes, come Holy Spirit, we would see Jesus. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, I'm not sure you won't be able to, we're talking about the PowerPoint. I'm not showing the PowerPoint. I think it'll become a distraction because you can't see it. And if Lisa can keep up with me, good luck. For those who are on Zoom, and welcome the people on Zoom today, so they will be able to follow this. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we started exploring the seven miracles of Jesus, John included in his gospel. And John called them signs. And as we saw then, that John recorded these signs so that we would believe in Jesus, so that we would believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And John did this knowing that when we believed in Jesus, when we see Jesus for who he is, then God gives us the gift of life, the eternal kind of life we were always created to enjoy. But the tragedy of humanity over the centuries is that people have constantly got it wrong concerning Jesus. I mean, Mahatma Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi said this: Jesus was a man who was completely innocent, offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom of the world. It was a perfect act. Gandhi believed in Jesus, a good man, a martyr. Even Adolf Hitler believed in Jesus. He wrote, "In boundless love as a Christian, and as a man, I read through the passage which tells us how the Lord at last rose in his temple and seized the scourge to drive out of the temple the brood of vipers and adders. How terrific was his fight for the world." In the mouth of Hitler, I'm sure we can read and understand what he meant by that. He saw Jesus as some warring crusaders committed to wiping out the Jews. Yes, many have got it wrong concerning Jesus over the centuries. And that is what happened in John 4, where Jesus' second sign is recorded. Let me read it for you, John chapter 4, and if you have your Bibles, you might like to follow it with me. John 4:43.
Yeah, you're zooming in. 24.
After 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea in Galilee. Yes, the people were excited to see Jesus. They were excited about him. They were starting to believe in him. But there was something not right about their belief. In some way, it was a distorted kind of belief. Now, what's interesting here is that John is very careful to tell us about the context where this event occurs. Jesus had been in Jerusalem at the Passover. He had preached, he had healed the sick, he had set the demonized free. And yes, people are getting excited. People are, as I said, starting to believe in Jesus. But Jesus says something very interesting back in Jerusalem in John chapter 2. He said this. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Yes, in some way, their belief was distorted. So Jesus leaves Jerusalem, returns to Galilee, and he had to travel through Samaria, and where an interesting contrast happened to what happened in Jerusalem. He encounters a woman and the village in which she lived. And as he spent time with them, their testimony was, we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And so now Jesus has come to Galilee, not committing himself to people who are getting excited about him in Jerusalem and hearing the testimony of the people in Samaria who are saying, he's the Savior of the world. So Jesus arrives in Galilee and again there's excitement from the crowd. Some of the people who were in Jerusalem and now here back in Galilee. And they're talking to their neighbors about Jesus. And when they see Jesus, they welcome him. Previously, Jesus was not welcomed in his hometown, his home country. So what was the difference between the excited crowd and the Samaritans? Well, John, I would suggest, is talking about honor, how they honored Jesus, how these two groups of people saw Jesus, how who they understood him to be. The Samaritans saw him as the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Son of God, and the crowds saw him simply as a miracle worker. That was the choice that confronted the royal official who came to Jesus in Cana and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Understandably, the man is desperate. He hears about Jesus. He hears all that Jesus has been doing. And so this royal official comes, and John's language is very precise. We need to pay attention. He begs Jesus to come with him. Now, this man was interesting. He was a royal official. He most probably had a position of importance in King Herod's household. And so he was someone who would have been honored and respected. He was someone whom people would have obeyed when he spoke. This was the man who came to Jesus begging. This man of high position. And how does Jesus respond to him? It's fascinating. And John again says, Jesus said this to the man, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Put yourself in the guy's shoes. Your son is dying. You've heard about Jesus. You come to Jesus and you beg him to come. Jesus says to you, unless you see signs and wonders, well, you'll never believe. I can imagine he wouldn't care less what Jesus said. He just wanted him to come with him and heal his son. I wonder if it could be that Jesus is actually challenging this man's distorted belief, this idea of Jesus simply the miracle worker. Do you hear what he's saying to the man? I'm not just a miracle worker. It's not about the miracles in and of themselves. They are mere signs, something pointing to something beyond themselves. Yes, look beyond them. Look beyond them, the miracles. Allow them to point you to who I really am. Even after hearing what Jesus said, I suspect the royal official simply wanted Jesus, the miracle worker, to come and do his thing, to come and heal his son. And so what does he do? Well, again, John's language is interesting. I suggest to you that the royal official pulls rank. He uses his position on Jesus and orders him to come. Sir, come down before my child dies. Now, the people of that community would have said, yes, sir, given his position. And Jesus basically ignores him, ignores what he says, and simply replies, go, your son will live. This is a fascinating encounter. Now, what an agonizing situation this guy suddenly finds himself in. Will I insist he comes? Will I insist the miracle comes with me and he comes and does his thing on my son? Or will I go? Because he said, go and your son will be here. What if my son dies on the way? What will I do right now? He decides to go. And as we read, the son was healed at exactly the same time the man encountered Jesus, and subsequently, his whole household believed. They honored Jesus not simply as a miracle worker, but as the Messiah, the Son of God. So as we read this account in John's Gospel, what is it God wants us to hear? What is it God is saying to us that will help us believe in Jesus? Remember the intent of John's Gospel. It's written that you might know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that you might believe in him. I find John's Gospel, I use the analogy, it's like petrol on a fire. The purpose of John's Gospel is to get a fire burning brightly, to stir a fire up, to throw petrol on the fire. It could be that you have never believed in Jesus. The purpose of John's Gospel is to show you Jesus that you might believe in him. It might be that you have believed in Jesus. The purpose of John's Gospel is to stir up the belief in you, to light it up like a can of petrol on the fire. Let it burn. Let it burn. So what is it God is saying to us that will ignite, that will encourage this flame of belief? Well, firstly, can I suggest it's this. Jesus is God. Honor him as God. We do not believe in Jesus unless we honor him as God. Yes, the boy was healed. And notice how the miracle points us to Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. We see, for example, Jesus had authority over time and space. We live in a physical world, a world that is limited by time and space. I mean, it was hard for us this morning. We didn't have to just get out of bed, make coffee, and then sit in church on our lounge. We're time bound. You had to get up and get dressed, and thank you. No one is in their pajamas. Maybe the Zoom people are. I don't know. But how hard was it to, hang on, we've got to get here by 10 o'clock. We're bound by time. But Jesus is beyond time. He is beyond space. The boy is not physically in Jesus' presence. Jesus spoke and his word transcended both time and space. What we need to understand here is that this is a glimpse into the reality that Jesus is above and beyond all things. He is the eternal creator God who has brought everything into being and holds all things together. And notice also the authority of Jesus' word here in this portion of scripture. John wanted us to see this in particular. In verse 50, he said, the man took Jesus at his word. Now, in the Jewish mindset, God's word is powerful and authoritative. The creator God, the God revealed to and through the Jews over history, is the God who has spoken, is the God who speaks. And his word is powerful. His word is authoritative. And we see this, for example, in the Genesis account of creation, in the repetition of, and God said, and it was so. Yes, God spoke the universe into existence. His word is powerful. It is living. It is active. Yes, Jesus is God. His word has authority over all things. And so, regardless of who we are, yes, even if we are a royal official, we need to come to Jesus in humble obedience and worship him as God. And guys, thank you for your song selection. What a great selection of songs to start a gathering together with today, because it gave us the opportunity to honor Jesus as God. And man, that took my breath away. We need to humble ourselves in obedience and worship. Jesus is not ours to boss around. That's what this man had to learn. Jesus is not our genie in the bottle. Oh, I've got a problem. I'll pull out my Jesus and rub Jesus and he will fix it for me. That's not what's going on here. He is God. He's not ours to boss around, to do what we tell him to do. He is the Lord God Almighty. Friends, can I suggest to you that the hardest thing we will ever have to do in our lives is to actually bow before Jesus. Is acknowledge that we are not the ones in control. He is to be willing to say to him, not my will, but yours be done. You are God. I am not. Can I also suggest that God wants us to hear in this passage that it's not about the sign, but it's all about the Savior. It's not about the signs. It's about the Savior. As I said at the outset, the tragedy of humanity over the centuries is that people have constantly got a wrong got it wrong concerning Jesus. For many, and yes, it happens today, I would suggest increasingly so in the church. They believe in Jesus, but all too often it is simply Jesus, the miracle worker. Jesus, the miracle worker. Southside is part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And as a movement, the Alliance stands in an interesting position. Its founder, A.B. Simpson, was one among many who in the early 1900s had experienced and was teaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. He had experienced healing and was teaching and encouraging people to trust God to be healed. Yes, the God of the Bible is and always has been a miracle-working God. We've reminded ourselves of that already this morning. And while many were making much of the spectacular manifestations and miracles, Simpson went in a different direction, as has the movement which he founded. And that direction is reflected in one of Simpson's songs. We don't sing, he wrote a heap of hymns. We don't sing many of them. His lyrics were often brilliant. His tunes were horrible. And they're really miserable songs to sing. Great lyrics, miserable tunes. But this song in particular captured the heartbeat of what I'm trying to say here. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver alone. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus and Jesus everything. Do you hear the heartbeat? Not the miracle, but the man. Not the power, but the person. Not the sign, but the Saviour. It's all about Jesus. Yes, of course, let's ask God to heal and set people free, to save the lost, to miraculously provide. But let's ask humbly by faith in the name of Jesus for the glory and honor of Jesus. It's all about Him. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus and Jesus everything. Friends, if we get it right concerning Jesus, we can do the impossible trusting Him because God is the God of miracles. It's all about Him. All about Him. Let me pray. Father, we thank You. And we worship You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the eternal Creator God, God, our Heavenly Father, our Saviour. And yes, we thank You for this gift of meeting together, of being church, of being able to lift our voices and declare Your greatness. And Lord, I ask for a working of Your Spirit, that You would open our hearts and our minds and our eyes afresh, that we would see Jesus. And Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.